time to play King Stupid. I'm William Van Dyke, and welcome to King Stupid, the show which takes a sideways look at the world because it's lying in the gutter dribbling brandy. Now, some people have told me that they do enjoy the show, but they do wish they had something to look at while it's on. So, if you're at home, you could try waggling some pepper pots while we talk, and pretending they're us. That's certainly what I do. Or if you're driving, why not imagine that the lorry in front has a big mouth on the back and is talking in my voice?
Hello. Sorry about cutting you up earlier.
Let's meet our panel. First, Peter Bainham. Now, you've got a little bit of lint on your face there.
Right.
Can I just... Mm-hmm. There. Got it. Peter. So that we can know a little bit more about you and the dreams that spur you on, tell us, what would you most like to find inside a cornflake packet?
Some milk. Bit of sugar, bowl, spoon, some sort of simple table, and somebody to eat it with.
They're patronising.
Next, the best thing from Cornwall since the tin pasty, Morwenna Banks.
Hello.
There's something on your face there, Morwenna.
Oh, okay.
Hold still a second.
Yeah.
Is it dead? Morwenna, what would you most like to find when you open up a cornflake packet?
I think I'd like to find that bloke David Copperfield off of Three of a Kind. Because then whenever people say, what happened to that bloke David Copperfield off Three of a Kind? I just say he's in my cornflakes.
Thank you, Morwenna. Now, our next panellist is a writer who regularly works for The Guardian, a newspaper whose views we do not endorse, Dave Green.
Hello.
Dave, there's something stuck on your lip. Let me lick that off.
Oh, thanks, yeah.
Dave, what would you most like to find in a cornflake packet?
Oh, I'd like to find the novelty piece of metal or severed finger that means that you win a substantial out-of-court settlement.
Thanks, Dave. Now, our fourth panellist could easily be described as Tom Binns. He's Tom Binns.
Hello.
I see, Tom, you've just got a bit of something on your face. Hold still. Still there. hang on.
Has it gone?
Yeah. Thanks for that. Tom, what would you like to find inside a box of cornflakes?
Well, mainly, I'd like to find mostly cornflakes there. But one of the cornflakes, I'd like it to be really... Like, all the other pieces of corn have been squashed into flakes. I'd like one piece of corn not to be squashed. And then I'd like it to whisper to me, "My whole platoon, wiped out!" In almost an American accent. That's what I'd like.
Okay. That's our four panellists for tonight, and they're the closest thing I have to friends. So to our first round. Now, we all know the saying, an apple a day keeps the doctor away, though not as effectively as a massive slavering dog. What I want to know is, what effect does a single unit of any other kind of fruit have? Tom.
A grape a day isn't quite enough, I feel.
Okay, anything else? You can have vegetables or multiple units? Or...
What about a banana a minute is just stupid, isn't it?
An apple a year makes scurvy appear.
I thought, a lager on rising takes the pain from downsizing.
A watermelon a second.
Slow down!
I did a comedy voice just in case it wasn't funny enough.
Asparagus with every meal makes your wee-wee smell surreal.
I've got 100 prunes a day keeps everyone away.
But prunes at Lent help empty the tent.
And that's the end of that round.
No, I've got one more.
Wishful thinking.
After a plane crash, eat human flesh and mash.
Why would you eat human flesh if you had the mash available?
I'd see it the other way around, personally. In fact, most of the reason I ever fly on planes is that I really want to taste human flesh. But one day, I'm hoping that I will somehow survive a plane crash.
Who would you eat first, those that don't like mash? Would you eat the people who didn't like mash first?
I would eat people who didn't like mash, the television programme.
They're subhuman. It'd
be a bummer if you're vegetarian, wouldn't it? Because you couldn't eat any people.
Eat the mash, though.
Some planes do now fly with vegetarian human flesh. So in the event of a crash, people like
they are vegetarians. Yeah. Big fat soya ladies. Soya Wilcox.
Perhaps when I say that's the end of that round in future, you'll bear this moment in mind.
No, it's not the end. Peter had one as well.
Yeah. Oh.
Eat a battery a second, or so my dad reckoned. But then he was sectioned under the Mental Health Act of 1950.
I've got a good mind not to end this round now.
Just to punish me.
And that's the end of that round.
Steady.
That's the end of that round. Of course, you could have had a melon a day keeps the carry-on team in jokes for 2 decades, apparently. So I think I'll give 2 points to Moira, 1 point to Dave, 3 points to Tom, and 4 points to Pete. Our next round is the, some might say, controversially titled, You're the Jesus. So let's play You're the Jesus. You'll need a loaf and... Hello? Yeah? Oh, okay. Our next round is called Ideal Nights Out.
Was that Jesus?
Well, I don't know. Let's see. 1471. Our next round is called Ideal Nights Out. I'm going to ask each member of the panel what they would do in their perfect evening. Now, money is no object. I have full access to the Radio 4 penny jar. And you'll get points if it sounds like fun. Tom, what would be the perfect night out?
Well, it would start with me walking down the street. No, that, it gets better. I then bump into the All Saints.
Right.
And they go, hey, Tom, we heard you on that Radio 4 panel game, King Stupid. We thought you were very funny once it was edited down and they added the laughter. Fancy coming to the pub with us, right? We go drinking. We have a great time, we sing some songs, then the pregnant one leaves. And then they say, do you fancy going back to our place, if you know what I mean? And they mean to have sex. That's what they meant. Anyway, that would be the perfect night for them. For me, would be just down the pub with my mates.
Okay.
You could just go to one of those theme pubs where the theme is drinking beer. A really good time. Got a big screen showing you people having a better time in another pub. Go there instead.
Okay. Moena, where would you go and what would you do?
My perfect night would be if my date phoned me up and cancelled, and then I could just stay in watching TV in my pants and eating pickled onions out of a jar. I'm a little bit shy socially.
Okay, and Peter, where would you spend the night of your life?
Either fill the bath with chops, which is always fun. Or drive down to Dover, bottle of wine, shout at the ferries. You know, that kind of thing. We've all done it. You know, you're just standing there. Yeah, help me off! You sealick bastards. I don't know. London Dungeon and a box of tissues, you know.
I'd like to get a Stringfellows. Not the Peter Stringfellow one, the other one, where it's basically for people with marionettes.
Literally Stringfellows.
Stringfellows, yeah. They've got a very strict no-glove puppets policy. And they do all that table dancing, you know, but with marionettes. So kind of a puppet sort of dances seductively in front of you and you put some money under a string. There is a viewing gallery for people without marionettes you can watch. But again, the glove puppet people can't go back.
What about Bernie Clifton? Because technically he's a combination sort of marionette.
No,
a bisexual in the puppet world.
Okay. So no one just going to a harvester then? All right. Well, that's the end of that round. And Pete, you can have 3 points. Morwenna, I'll give you 4 points. Dave, you can have 1 point. And Tom, I'm going to give you 2 points.
Thank you.
Now it's time for our quickfire round. Today all the quickfire questions have been set by my 7-year-old niece, Sarah. So thank you to her. Okay, get ready for Sarah's questions. I'll start now. Why can't I wear makeup? Pete.
You just can't, okay?
Correct, 1 point. Where do babies come from? Dave.
Ask your mother.
Correct. Can I go round to Becky's house?
No, it's a school night.
Correct. Why do people have to die?
Go and watch a cartoon.
Correct. Why are boys so horrid?
Because.
Correct. Why did Jerry have to leave the Spice Girls?
She just did.
Correct.
She died of a heart attack.
If the earth is round, why don't people fall off the bottom?
Don't say bottom.
Correct. Where's my Rapunzel Barbie?
I'll give you Rapunzel Barbie.
Correct. Are ghosties real?
Ghosties are real and they have metal teeth.
And they're going to eat you alive if you don't shut up.
All correct. Who do you like best, Bewitched or All Saints?
Oh, I don't know. It was all adamant in my day.
Correct. And that noise tells me nothing at all. I don't know what it means, where it came from, or who's responsible, but coincidentally, I was going to stop the round there anyway. So, well done, and let's add up all the scores so far. Dave Green is on 7 points, Peter Bainham is also on 7 points, Morwenna Banks is on 9 points, and Tom Binns is also on 7 points. So there are your points, and they're safe, unless, of course, you want to trade them in for chocolate. I've got a lot of chocolate here, and you can buy chocolate with your points. It's going to be an exchange rate of 1 point per bar. Morwenna, I think you're in the lead. You've got 2 points extra, so you could buy one and still be in the lead.
A star bar?
A star bar? Double decker. There's no star bars, but...
There was earlier.
Yeah. There is a star bar.
Yum.
There is a star bar. You can have that for 1 point.
The square one that looks expensive. Thank you very much.
Square one. You're going for the Ritter Sport.
Yeah, that one. Okay, yeah.
Well, you've got to be quicker than that. Any other?
Can I, for 2 points, can I have your Ritter Sport? I'll give you my points.
Interesting cross-trading. I'm going to allow that.
What have you got?
I've got nothing.
You have points.
2 points.
No.
I'll tell you, I've got a spend and save card. Can I take points off that?
You can.
I was on Brain of Britain last night.
And?
I've got 2,000 points from that.
Okay.
Have I won?
Well, the exchange rate from Brain of Britain to this programme is 2,000 to 1 point, so...
Fingers.
A point. So, you have Snickers? Sounds rude? Have one?
Yeah.
I've bought some chocolate, because can I exchange that for points?
Two points? 1.5? 1 point, actually.
One.
Very plain about the exchange rate
earlier. So can I have that Maverick bar and a car Green, as well that I would like to eat?
A Maverick bar, yes. A car, not as such, no.
Can I have one of those with the prize, the instant thing?
Yes, indeed. Instant. Well, it still costs 1 point. We've got a Cadbury's Whole Nut with an instant prize on the packet. So I'm going to toss that over to you. It's just
it's,
1 point
it's a holiday. Does that mean that if we win, we have to go instantly? I mean, can we finish the game off here?
I'll let you stay. But let's see. Could be a big prize being awarded live on this programme. Let's have a look. Have we won?
Sorry, you're not a winner this time. But I can still collect the wrappers. that's a consolation.
Okay, well, that seems to be enough, and I seem to be left with a lot of chocolate, which is obviously very good. And the new chocolate-adjusted scores are Morwenna Banks, 9 points, Tom Binns, 4 points, Peter Bainham, 6 points, and Dave Green, 7 points.
Can I say a real thing? You were saying about ghosts earlier.
Mm. Yeah.
A real thing that happened to me when I asked my dad about ghosts when I was about 6 and I was lying in bed and I said, Dad, I'm worried about ghosts. And he said, don't worry about ghosts, Pete, because if you do, they will come.
Extra chocolate to be Spain. Right, the next round is about coffee. Now, we used to have espresso and cappuccino. But now that 6 out of every 5 high street shops sell only coffee, more and more ridiculous ways of serving the stuff have to be invented. So can you give me new names for overpriced coffees, everybody?
Café Lassie. The special ingredient, which I've got to keep to myself. It's the dog from Lassie.
It was a sort of a je ne sais quoi flavour that you couldn't describe. It could be the hard to espresso.
Coffee that's made from the ground up body parts of Tony Head, the original Gold Blend Man.
What do you call that?
Kenko.
Tenko, which is split similar.
Tenko. It's made from the ground up body parts of Japanese.
I think you could have a gambatino, which is bits of DJ with a weird accent sprinkled. Or you could have a double calf, half calf, skinny latte, mocha job, a triple foam macchiato, frappuccino, decaf espresso, drip filter with a splash of regular coffee to go.
Or just coffee to go, which is like coffee with a laxative.
Coffee made from the ground up body parts of the people of Togo in the.
That would be called
coffee to go. Al Pacino, which is a clever play on words of the actor Al Pacino. And, it'll be made from muesli.
Yorkshire coffee, which is half coffee and half tea.
Is that possible?
Well, you could do a Cumberland coffee, which would have a sort of sausage,
yeah,
stuck in it. But you could sort of drink it through the sausage. You'd suck it up through the meaty.
I've seen that somewhere, actually.
It's called the 99.
No. Okay, names for chains of coffee outlets?
The Camp Coffee Company, which is camp coffee with chicory essence served to you by men of a slightly sort of camp persuasion.
Frothing at the mouth. We should have a sort of, like, comedy rabies theme.
And that'll do, I think. That was our tribute to coffee, the world's third brownest drink after Bovril and Sparrow Juice. So, I'm going to give Tom 2 points, Pete 1 point, Dave 3 points, and Morwenna 2 points. Now, the next round is about crime. Everyone's worried about crime. Sometimes we all feel like tooling up in squads of vigilantes and taking the scum out one by one. Or should we take more extreme measures? Do you have any ideas about how we can combat crime? Tom?
Legalise it. Or take the stage further. When everyone turns 18, give them one, you know, give everyone £1 million and a GTI sports car and loads of hard drugs. And they won't have to commit any crime. They've got everything they need. And a telly and a video.
Okay.
What if your telly broke down?
Well, you'd give everyone a telly with a 3-year warranty.
Oh, really?
And an option to buy. I've thought it through.
Dave, just say that didn't work. how do you think we can fight crime?
Oh, I'd go right to the core of the problem and get rap music to glamorise legal activities instead of its current lyrics. So that would include, like, driving at safe and careful speeds and settling disputes in an amicable manner without resorting to violence.
OK. Morwenna, do you have any anti-crime proposals?
Well, I would suggest that they stop manufacturing ladies' tights, stripy T-shirts and big sacks with swag written on it. I think that would stop it, wouldn't it?
It's not burglaries by living like me. Because then when the burglars turned up, they think this place has been done over already.
I think we should do what the Saudis do. Cover everything with sand, can't find anything to nick.
But below the desert is all their belongings, all the jewellery and pants,
yeah,
and socks and things.
It's a town. That's why they chop people's hands off, so then they can't get down amongst the sand. Pull anything out. Or bring back hanging, that's the other thing.
As well, the best one.
Everyone concentrates on all the negative sides of hanging. But I bet you if you brought back hanging and just use it for, like, certain offences, the ones where it's going to be the most effective, you're certainly going to cut down on overdue library books.
I think all laws should be in English, because that's the only language they understand.
There's an idea that's been brought in, which is a policy of Nero tolerance, which is anybody who commits a crime in a city, their city is then burnt to the ground. And they'll have a guy, probably an actor, dressed as the Emperor Nero, hence the expression, who'll sit on the outskirts of the city playing a violin through a big sound system.
Wouldn't work for arsonists, though, obviously.
Just going to play into their hands, isn't it, really?
OK, so there's a drawback to some of these things as well. OK, let's score that round as follows. Well, I'm going to give you 3 points. Tom, you can have 4 points. Dave, you can have 1 point. And Pete, well, give you 3 points. This round celebrates the great oral tradition of the English language, a continuous tradition stretching from Chaucer and Piers Plowman through to David Jensen and Paul Gambaccini. It's the latter end we're focusing on today as we play Complete the Old Radio 1 DJ's Anecdote. Now, Moena, you're about to hear Tony Blackburn recounting half of a 1970s adventure. You must supply the second half, OK? Here goes.
I spent all yesterday afternoon, or quite a substantial amount of it, in the Fairy Grotto at Selfridges, believe it or not. And I said that I was going to be dressed up as Father Christmas, and in fact, that's what I did. I was Father Christmas for around about an hour. And...
and then a child stepped on my sack.
OK, well, from 1983, Pete, I want you to listen to Mike Reed trying to get his head round the concept of winter.
It's 13 minutes past seven, it's Thursday morning, bit of a frost out this morning. Did you notice the frost? Bit nippy. Got outside in just the shirt and pullover, and then noticed the car was covered in...
pictures of the other Mike Reed. the one from EastEnders. And Mike Reed, the other Mike Reed, running off through the snow laughing. Shouting, I'm the real Mike Reed. I am the true Mike Reed. And then I think what happened was then Mike Reed, the DJ, rugby tackled him and then they fought in the snow. But then just the vibration, it got a bit erotic. Because they just thought, that's quite erotic actually, that we're both called Mike Reed.
If I heard Mike Reed correctly there, he was in the frost in just a shirt and a pullover. It had no pants on, clearly.
Yeah. This is the man who banned Frankie Goes to Hollywood, isn't it?
Well, I think it's that it's got outside in just the shirt and pullover and then noticed that the car was covered in Keith Chegwin's Whiskey Sick.
Apparently the Eskimos have 17 different words for Keith Chegwin's Whiskey Sick.
You know that the newsreader Jon Snow has 8,000 words for Eskimo. I think it's actually really boring. It's just I went outside of my shirt and pulled over and noticed the car was covered for third-party fire and theft.
And now from 1977, Tom, this is David Diddy Hamilton passing the time on the Radio 1 Roadshow.
Right, I better explain that in the disco last night, each of us went on stage and did our little act. And as part of my act, I had a sexy dancing competition. We had a whole lot of girls who got up on stage and we...
And we quickly realised that this was not the right sort of event to hold on the Iran leg of the Radio 1 Roadshow.
Nice weather on that leg of it.
Yeah, exactly. I'm
always guaranteed.
You're going, show us your eyes, girls.
Anyone want to mention anything?
I think it was, we had a whole load of girls who got up on stage and we tried to cop off with them, but we were too old and sad.
Even then.
It's not as sexist as it sounds. Perhaps the girls were judging David Diddy Hamilton sexy dancing. And presumably at the end of the evening judged it not sexy.
Dave, from 1983, here is Simon Bates talking about an all-star Radio 1 football match.
The truth is that when I first played for Radio 1, yeah, it was in the days when Blackers was our main goalie and Edmonds used to head everything. And I played the wrong way. Mm-hmm. And they got very upset and Hamilton got very nasty and Edmonds got very nasty with me.
And I was condemned to wear a huge pink rubbery costume and be ridiculed by Edmonds for the rest of my natural life. Like the man in the iron mask. Oh, who will free me from this torment? Kill me! Kill me now!
Okay, points for that round. I'm going to give 1 point to Dave, 2 points to Pete, 3 points to Moena, and I'll give 4 points to Tom. And a T-shirt, and a Radio 4 mug, and a Radio 4 goodie bag with all kinds of treats in it. So, Today Programme, So On Patch, Robin Lustig Sun Visor, it's all yours. Well, the final scores are as follows. Dave Green got 13 points, Tom Binns had 14 points, and equal with him in second place on 14 points was Peter Bainham, and the winner is Morwenna Banks with 18 points. Now, Peter, you came second equal. So you go through to the conveyor belt. Peter, this is your chance to win some big prizes. Nod if you understand that. Good. Start up the conveyor belt, please. Okay, look at all the things going by. Memorise the things. And if you recall the things later, we'll give you the things. Okay, everything you name, you take home. Peter, what did you see?
Pair of rubber fetish contact lenses. Model of Robin Cook made from strepsils and wire. Some milk coming out of a robot.
Absolutely.
Really slowly, sort of seeping up its face.
Help him, everybody, help him.
A nest of occasional nests.
Five kinds of 1970.
Next to that?
Encyclopedia Sciatica.
An infinite chew-it.
Indeed, that's going home with you tonight.
The saliva of all nations.
Piece of paper proving the existence of the Chinese. Oh, a nice big bowl of welcome address.
Well done. Now, look at all those lovely things that you've won, all in a pile. All right, everybody, get in a line and start waving now! King Stupid was presented by me, William Van Dyke, and featured Morwenna Banks, Dave Green, Tom Binns, and Peter Bainham. Keep waving! It was written by Andy Riley and Kevin Cecil, and the producer was David Tyler. The agricultural story editor was Floyd Kelly, and the programme is a positive production for the BBC. Wave! Wave! Smile and wave! Smile and wave!